This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So I'm going to share with you a quick thought that's going to be simple. I think we will just start with, by reading the first line, the first light, Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you or your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I'm just going to pause there. Deuteronomy is a very important book in the Old Testament. It is part of those books that are called, that are considered in theology as the foundational books. Part of the Torah. And Deuteronomy was the last speech, basically, of Moses to the children of Israel. In fact, all the prophetic books in the Old Testament, all the prophets, they are all considered as Deuteronomic prophets because in everything they said and taught, they wanted to get the Israelites back to the foundations that were laid in the book of Deuteronomy, or perhaps in the Torah, the thing that the Lord spoke through Moses. And the context of this particular text is that the Israelites are finding themselves in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, there was this miracle where the Lord provided with manna. Manna basically means, what is this? What is it? And often in life, we always have a desire to find meaning. And in that particular time, the Lord provided with manna. And the Lord gave the reason why he gave them the manna. He wanted to teach them because the manna was miraculous. It wasn't something that came out as a result of work. It was God's provision for the Israelites. It was a miracle working act of God. So he said, I wanted to teach you that man shall not live by bread alone, because those guys were farmers and bread is still something critical in that particular culture. It's almost like if it was in Switzerland, it was like God was saying, God, man shall not live by cheese and chocolate alone. In South Africa, I don't know if I would say meat or... Biltong. I love biltong. I miss it. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the title of my sermon is Living by Every Word That Proceeds from the Mouth of God. Living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I'm gonna go through a few scriptures that I'm gonna build with my idea, or perhaps the thought that I'm sharing with you, the pertinence of the word, and how does God speak, why does he speak. So I will touch on the wilderness. The word Lord there is the word Yahweh. And I'm going to touch on the word word. So it's going to be word, the wilderness, which is the actual context of the text, and Yahweh in that particular text. So I'll touch on those three aspects and how to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The book of John is very interesting because it starts by saying, by defining Jesus as the Logos, as the Word, through which everything on earth was created. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing that exists existed without it. When Paul writes in some of his letters, he says that Jesus, who is the Logos in John, everything that exists through him and for him. So everything that exists in the world was actually took place through the word of God. And that's what we see in Genesis 1 when God speaks. So let's go through the next slide. When you read Bible, I think it's important that you really read the Bible as if it was a book that was written only to you. It's not really just a book to feed you some knowledges. Sometimes you need to take it as a. One of the things that I love in Switzerland is that whenever there is a birth, there is thing. There is always courier. There is always courier all the time. You always receive an envelope on your letterbox, and people always write cards. And there is always a text that you need to write. So it's a lot of pressure because every time I always have to find words to write for people. But it's something unique when people write a text to you. When you read, you have an idea about what they think about either your child or your birthday, or maybe your wedding, and whatever circumstance it is. So God thought of you and I. And because he thought of you and I, he gave us this book, the Bible. So if you know that that book was sent to you by God, you got to read it seriously and passionately, with love, with joy, with everything. All right? So let's take, for example, this text. It says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to the one's whole body." What is interesting is you see the connections between the healing of the body. Other translation says, they are healing to the bones. When you read in Proverbs, you will see there is often a direct connection between words that are being spoken and what actually happens spiritually, what happens emotionally, what happens physically as well. There is a connection between what we hear, and what happens within us. So in other words, there is another scripture in Proverbs 16, I think verse 24, it says that gracious words, they are like honey. They are sweet to the soul, and they are healing to the bones. In other words, words have the power of really impacting. So if we have to transpose that particular thought on God, every word that comes from God reflects his nature, it reflects his character, it reflects his will, it reflects his plan. In the words of God, there is a package of everything that has to do with God. That's why we cannot split God from his word. So we see a direct connection between what happens in your soul and the words that you hear. In fact, the Bible says faith comes from hearing, and from hearing the word of God. So we see a direct connection between the two. Let's take another text. It says, "My son, pay attention to what I say." Maybe go to the next one. Yes, this in the context of this particular psalm is in captivity. While the Israelites were in Babylon, some of them went really astray. They were disobeying God. And this is what happened to them. If you read from verse 17, it actually speaks about how these people rebelled against God. They were in their sin. It says, "Fools of the transgression, and because of their iniquities are afflicted, their soul are aborted all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of the distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from the destruction." Basically, these people, because of their sin, they got into a place where they lost the taste. In other translations, they lost the taste of meat. Imagine you always like going to the braai. Now, because of their struggles, they lost the taste. They were depressed. And while they were struggling, God didn't stand an army. Bible says, he sent his word. And his word healed them. He sent his word. And his word healed them. Let's go to the next slide, if you don't mind. So, this is a very interesting dynamic. This is David. He's reigning over the Israelites. And one of the worst enemies of the Israelites back then was the Philistines. And David, being a warrior, if you read the story, he faced Goliath, did so many things. And now he found himself in this particular season where he was being attacked by the Philistines. Bible says, so David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go and attack the Philistine? Will you deliver them into my hand?" The Lord answered him, "Go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands." Next slide, please. So David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, "As waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me," so that the place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistine abandoned the idols there, and David and his men carried them off. Once more, the Philistine came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, and he answered, "Do not go up. Do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the poplar trees." What is interesting in this story is that on the very first time when the Philistine rose against the Israelites, when David inquired of the Lord said, "Go." But on the next time when he inquired the Lord said, "Do not go." So sometimes in your own life, there are moments where you've got to move, there are moments when you should not move. But how can you discern that this is the time that I should move? This is not the time that I shouldn't move. What does this text teach us? It basically teaches us that God is relational. And because God is relational, God is speaking. You cannot live off your spiritual life based on your experiences of the past. Because God is moving. The way God speaks reveals his nature. God is relational. So you cannot live off your spirituality based on what you did at a camp 10 years ago. Can't say, "I used to worship. I used to sing. I used to go to the camps. I went on missions." Great, you are only as spiritual as you are today. Even if you fasted for 180 days, you are only as you are spiritual now. Are you hearing God? Or are you operating from a place of presumption? So in the nature of the way God speaks, God remains relational. So God, in the way he speaks, there is always that aspect. In fact, the word for word in Hebrew is the word davar. In the Hebrew way of thinking, they don't think of words as concepts, like in the Western environment it's sometimes conceived. In the Hebrew culture, when they speak about davar, or a word, the basic also means a thing or substance. That's why, for example, when Jacob was blessed by his father, his father could not take back the blessing that he released over him. Because when you say a word, it's almost like you give to somebody a glass of water and they drank. You can't get it back. So the word for word, the word davar, speaks of a thing. So if you release a word, it's almost like you have given something to somebody. That's why when you see the psalmist says, "Your word is a light." All of those analogies are part of the Hebraism. The idea of the Hebraic thinking is that words aren't just concepts. They are very concrete. They are very real. So when God is speaking to you, he isn't just making a speech. God is actually building a relationship with you. And God speaks with always a purpose. There is always a purpose to every word of God. And his purpose is always revealing his heart, revealing his character, fulfilling his purposes, and doing his will. And you know, God is the only one that is best qualified to speak to your heart. You know why? Because he knows you best. Even as a pastor, I might have empathy, I might have compassion, but there are levels of speaking to your heart that I will never reach. because I cannot enter into your heart. But my role is to teach you, my role is to teach people how to recognize the voice of God so that he will articulate in the languages of your heart, because he made you. Because sometimes your heart needs more than vocabularies. You might be Afrikaans, but there are times where there is no Afrikaans word that can fit into how you feel. You might be closer. There might not be any words that fits into your closer words. You might be French speaking. There might be sometimes where nobody can actually help you. But the Holy Spirit, who have decided to come and indwell in you, is the only one who can truly speak to your heart properly and heal you. Church is not called to do therapy. The call of the church is not doing therapy. The call of the church is to preach the gospel. It's to preach Christ. There's nothing wrong with doing therapy. But what I'm saying, the primary call is to preach the word. And it's the word of God. And Jesus is the word. And Jesus is the healer. You will not be free from your sin through techniques. There is not a technique. We were not saved by a technique. We are not saved by a doctrine. Christ saved us. Christ saved us. And Christ is the word that was sent. And the context of this particular text, when he said, a man shall not live by bread alone. You know how much we depend on food? Some people, when they are hungry, one of my friends said, when he's hungry, his hands, they start shaking like this. Some people lose even their temper. I remember we went on missions many years ago. I'm not going to mention the name of the student. He lost his temper because we did not have breakfast yet. So when you go to the camp, don't lose your temper. We love eating. But God is saying, don't just live off yogurts, mueslis, bread, bacon, fish and chips. Can you live off my words every day? Living in terms of his word. You know, if I get sick today and the doctor says, you need to take this medicine 5 times a day. You know what? I'm not even going to hesitate. I'm going to take it. But you know how many things the Bible, God says in the scriptures that we don't do? For example, he says pray without ceasing. You know how many times we don't pray without ceasing? We pray truly when we are in trouble, when it's about exams. Or maybe you want a girlfriend. And because we use God, we don't make him part of our lives. How would it look like if every single morning, what's your name, sir?
It's Marvin.
Marvin, when you wake up in the morning, then Jesus says to you, hello, Marvin. How did you sleep? Then you ask him back, Jesus, what are your thoughts today? What are your thoughts about my neighbor? While you're driving, and then this taxi driver, he comes, surprisingly, and you're about to just release the F word. Suddenly you release a faith word. If we were to live like that, we will be free. We will be healed. It is possible to live like that if we can truly take seriously the word. The Israelites were told these things while they were in the wilderness. You know, many spiritualities back then, many people worshipped either the sun or the moon or stars or maybe rivers. People had spiritualities like that where it was always things that they could see and touch. But the Israelite was suddenly introduced into a spirituality where everything had to do with hearing in the wilderness. The word wilderness, in fact, the book, which is called Number, if you study in the Hebrew Bible, in fact, the Jewish tradition says actually the actual name of the book is In the Wilderness. And it's Mildbom, which is actually the same root word for wilderness. The root word of the word wilderness in the Hebrew language is the word, is davar. That is why, if you're familiar with the Feast of the Lord, like for example Pentecost, which is called in Hebrew Shavuot, before they sell that particular week or that particular feast, the Sabbath before that, they always read the book of Numbers, which we know as Numbers. The rabbi will always read that particular before they move into Deuteronomy. So in other words, there is a connection between the word and the wilderness. So the word wilderness in the Hebrew language takes its roots from davar, from word. Most of the people in the Old Testament had their greatest encounter in the wilderness. If you think of Agar, when she was removed from Abraham's house, in the wilderness there was a miracle when Ishmael was crying. If you think of Elijah, you think of Moses, you think of Elijah, you think of Jesus. It was in the wilderness that Jesus repeated the same very word when the enemy came to tempt him. He said, "Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." And why? Because the devil came and tempted him with the words. The biggest temptation of your life is not your biggest need, perhaps what you may think is your need. The biggest temptation of your life is actually which word will define your life. As soon as the devil gets you convinced that God is a liar, then he's okay with you. Most of the encounters happened in the wilderness. They encountered God. Because in the wilderness, you don't see many things. Suddenly your capacity to hear becomes very clear. The wilderness is sometimes the picture of suffering. Sometimes the picture of life. In life, we don't predict what kind of problems we're going to have. You cannot anticipate what kind of issues you're going to have. I remember when Jelena was just 2 or 3 months in the womb. We went to the hospital for checkup and stuff. They said, "Well, your baby is not really growing well. If it carries on like this, we might have to take her out of the womb maybe much earlier." And it became very scary. They said to my wife that she had to take a break from work and all that. It was all of these theories. When I was here, did I know I was going to have that problem? I was at the camp, worthy, 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 Lord, God Almighty. I didn't know that in 2022, 2023, there was a problem waiting for me. But I'm telling you, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. You know one thing that I learned when you are married, eh? You know when everybody's crying in the house, then what do? You sing, nothing. You pray, nothing. You read the Bible, nothing. You also cry. You can cry unto the Lord. But the wilderness is sometimes like that. And it is in the wilderness that the Lord came and said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." In other words, listen to me. There is a prayer that every Jewish family repeats every day. We did the Shema. Listen, O Israel. Listen, O Israel. You know, like I was speaking about the feast, which when they read, the Feast of Pentecost is the feast of the celebration of the gift of the Torah of the word when Moses went to the mountain and received the law. But before that, they read in the wilderness. In other words, there is a connection between the word of God and what we're going through. God has got always the best say in terms of what we are living. And I'm going to finish off with Yahweh. Yahweh is actually the name that was revealed to Moses when Moses asked, these people who asked me, what is the name of the God who appeared to you? He said, you shall tell them, my name is I Am. I Am sent me. Yahweh basically means the one who was, who is, and who will be. The one who's I Am in every time. When Jesus came on earth, he met a man called Nathanael. This is what he said to him. He said to him, he is a Jew in whom there is no deceit. The guy said, how do you know me? This is in the book of John, chapter 2. The guy said, Jesus said, while you were still under the fig tree, I saw you. The guy said, you're truly the Messiah. Then Jesus said, because I've told you these things and now you believe, from now on you'll be seeing angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What he actually meant is that when he said, while you were still under the fig tree, Jesus was speaking to him about his past. Jesus was revealing Yahweh. When he said, he is a Jew in whom there is no deceit, he was speaking about his present. Then he said, from now on, you'll be seeing angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He was speaking about his future. In fact, if you carry on reading that particular text, the Bible says a day later, they went to Cana. That's the place where Jesus made his first miracle. And scripture says his disciples believed in him. We actually see the flow of the story. Why am I saying that when God speaks, we as humans, we know our past because it's already lived. We know our present because we are living our present, but our future we do not know. Like I didn't know what kind of trouble I was going to have in the future. By the way, the Lord miraculously took care of our baby. By the time she was born, they told to one another because I was there, they said we were wrong because she was perfectly fine. And she's never been sick since she was born. So what I was trying to say is the past, the Lord knows your past. He knows your present. But because he's Yahweh, he also knows the future. And because he knows all of that, you better hear him. You better listen to him. What happened 2 years ago in the church was not a surprise to him. That is why the best advice to you is to remain on the word. Is to remain listening to him. Because even if the future may be difficult, he will give you grace to handle the future. Moses never reached the promised land, and yet the people of Israel, they reached the promised land. Because God said to Moses, take my people to the promised land. It was God's initiative. God reached his objective. We are not greater than every prophecy given to us. As soon as we become very attached to prophetic words, then attached to the word, I prophesy, huh? But I want to say, we must be careful that we don't idolize prophetic words. Because sometimes the prophetic words is treated like a verse. That's heresy. Scripture is the only thing that is unquestionable. Any prophetic word that I give to you, you have 100% right to question it, to question of the Lord until you feel this is relevant to you. But please don't take it as a scripture. As soon as you take it as a scripture, almost, it may destroy you. And I think from my little church life experience, one of the things that have destroyed churches is prophecies. Because it's not the prophecy, but it's the way we handle prophecy. But if we can stay on the word, we'll be safe. So when God speaks, he releases his life. He releases his heart. Every word from God reveals his nature. It reveals his character. And God doesn't just speak in the Bible, but he also speaks individually. That is why there is prophecy. That's why there is word of knowledge. The reason why he does that, because he's relational. He's also concerned about every single aspect of our lives. Will you choose to live by his word? Or will you have the Bible as one of the things that are featuring in your life? You have Jesus, and you have some TED Talks online, some podcasts. One of the things that I'm struggling in the Christian environment, people read more Christian books than they read the Bible. Now people start preaching Christian books instead of preaching the word. One of the moments that I love in scripture, the Israelites, they had sometimes times where the priest would read the word. Most times they would stand while they were reading the word. And people cried. When last did you cry? Because you just heard the reading of the word in the service. When last did you have emotional connection with the Bible? A real emotional connection. If we cannot have a healthy emotional connection with the Bible, with the Word of God, we can't fully have a wise emotional connection with people. Because they can either hijack our entire attention, and then we develop dependency. But if we can develop a deep emotional connection with God's Word, then we will learn how to love. We'll learn how to forgive. We'll learn how to speak. We'll speak with grace. And when we speak, Paul says, when we speak, our words should be filled with grace and wisdom. What is the place of the word in your life? Let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to the Bible. You see, I've got a privilege of serving in two churches, Reformed Church, very traditional, but charismatic. We've got the organs, we sing the hymns. I have to tell you, I love the tradition. I've learned to appreciate the beauty of tradition. And I've seen how much tradition protects some of the charismatic abuse. And now, sometimes when I go to my charismatic church, I'm like, oof, tradition. Sometimes it's a problem for some liberty. So we don't need to be very traditional. We don't need to be very charismatic. We need to be Christ-like. Because Christ has got some tradition sometimes. And then Christ sometimes has got some spontaneity. So you need to know how to discern his move. Very important. So I'm not saying we should start having organ and then you stand. What I'm saying, we should learn to remain Christ-like. Amen. You know, one of the things that I don't like anymore is to say, I'm prophetic, or this person is prophetic. We're not called to be prophetic. We are called to be Christ-like. Oh, this person is pastoral. We put him in a box of the pastoral. This person is evangelist. We put him in a box of the evangelist. Or my ministry, I think my calling, I'm very frustrated because I don't know what I'm called for. You are called to be like Jesus. Jesus is the pastor. Jesus is the prophet. Jesus is the evangelist. If we can focus on Christ, we'll be free. We'll truly be free. When you read Ephesians 4, it speaks about Jesus going ascending to heaven and sending his gifts to the body. We don't see anyone pursuing it. So I really want to encourage you this morning by saying, let's get back. Let's live. Let's live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The reason why it's important, because every one of us, somewhere, somehow, you live by every word that proceeds from your culture. And in your culture, there are places where you are really, really a slave. Unhealthy slave. There are places where you are truly free. So you've got to discern, what is it in your culture that enslaves you? That you need to be from because of Christ calling you? And what is that in your culture that is part of the redemption that you can carry on with? Because otherwise, you might be a cultural Christian. You are a Xhosa Christian, an Afrikaans Christian, and then you are a Congolese Christian. And sometimes, because of that, as soon as your culture clashes with another culture, you're going to clash with the other culture, not because of Christ, but that's because you're not free. But Christ is not there to change your culture. Christ is there. He sent you in that culture to represent him. So whether you're Xhosa, whether you're Afrikaans, you are an ambassador in that
culture and live by His word. Amen?
Amen.
Can we stand and we're going to pray? Megan, if you don't mind, yeah. I would like us to take this moment, if each and every one of us can just think of what is the place of the Word of God in your life currently? When last did you read your Bible not from a place of legalism? When last did you read the Bible from a place of joy? Because you just wanted to read this book that was given to you. How is your relationship with God? Are you in your past experiences, or are you truly? Have you perhaps moved when God actually was expecting you to not move? I'd like to take a moment of meditation where you can truly get back to yourself. Take this moment where you can just bring your mind, your heart, your history, everything before Him. And just allow Him to speak to your mind, to speak to your heart, to speak to your life. And if you've got to repent in your heart, you can repent as well. You say, Lord, I've just lost touch with your word. It feels boring. It feels very dry. I don't know where to start. You don't have to be guilty about it. You just have to be open to the Lord.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.